Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and doggone it. Good morning, world. Okay, I pushed the wrong time on this broadcast, so it's going to be a short one, folks. But anyhow, we're going to see what we can get through. We're going to blast it, and this is a good one. The name of this broadcast is the Constitution's Article 12. Today is August the 7th in the year 2016. So let's jump right in. I'm noticing a couple. I've been watching the news, CNN in particular, and there was a black church, African-American congregation church in North Carolina that was in strong and full support of Donald Trump. There was just no convincing these folks of speaking otherwise against him being chosen as the Republican president of this United States. Also, I have kind of stumbled on a broadcast called the Wayne Dupree Show, and it's called Side War Broadcast, and he's got like war in his backdrop, you know, there, and he's thoroughly convinced as well that Donald Trump is a great representative for people like himself and, you know, myself and African-American people in general. Now, I have a strong argument, a strong question about that, simply because Mr. Trump, in dealing with Kadir Khan, the family of the Gold Star Islamic Muslim gentleman that died as a hero as a result of trying to save his comrades in a war scenario. And Mr. Khan pulling out a Constitution, a copy of the United States Constitution out of his pocket, and asking that Mr. Trump should read this, read his copy. He could borrow the copy. And folks, I guess he didn't really elaborate, and a lot of people really don't understand and know why Mr. Khan did this, or the fact that Donald Trump has never even read the United States Constitution. So I can't understand for the life of me how in the world could any African-American person or any person of color or anyone for that matter in this great United States, because it pertains and covers any and everyone in the United States, even for generations to come. This thing is a very well-written but concise document or article. But it was very encompassing. You know, it really included all of the spirit of America, if you will. And if a person that is running for president can't tell you how many articles there are in the Constitution, since it's such a short document, he's never read the Constitution. He's never looked at the Constitution. So how in the world can he represent the Constitution of this great, you know, make a great American again? Read the Constitution. That's the first thing you need to do before you can even speak of making this nation great again, which is always and never has been nothing short of a great nation. Let's look at this transcript right quick. In the opening, it says of the United States Constitution, it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do obtain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." And folks, when it says posterity, that simply means for generations ongoing, okay? But the meat of this thing right here is what's important. You know, how can a man represent, you know, a document or an ideology, a belief, a spirit, you know, of a nation, and he's never read the Constitution governing the nation? How can anybody in their right mind, you know, get in support of a person of this caliber, of this magnitude, and they have never even read the Constitution? This is what Mr. Khan, you know, meant by this. Now, folks, now, you know, you hear me talking, but let's just go. This is truth radio, okay? This is not, you know, fluff or smoke or whatever the case may be, or buffoonery or follow the leader or sheeple or none of that kind of nonsense. We look up and we support the facts, okay? Now, if we can, if you simply go to abcnewsgo.com, and or you could just Google Donald Trump protects the Article 12 of the Constitution, you'll clearly see in here when he's giving this speech, you know, in Raleigh, North Carolina on July 5th of this year, that he clearly stated he's going to support and uphold Article 12 of the Constitution. Folks, go look at the Constitution for yourself. This is a this is a valid argument. This is for me. This closes the case on Donald Trump. I don't care what he says before, during, or after. I don't care about none of that kind of nonsense. If you can't, if you have never read the United States Constitution, and you're not a Bible or God fearing man, you know, a following man, that's obvious. And I'm gonna tell you why, because I told you I was gonna do some research, and my research proved true. Look at the end, and I'm just gonna put this out here right now. Look at the end of Donald Trump's speeches. When he gave his speech for the acceptance of nomination of the United States of this great nation, okay, he said, "God bless you." At the closing of his speech, he did say, "God bless you." Okay, God bless who? You know, he just said, "God bless you." He kind of pointed out the audience and stuff, but what did that really mean? What is that really saying? But he did not say, "And God bless the United States of America." That's what I was looking for, folks. That's what I was looking for. Now, if you on your acceptance speech to be nominated, if you don't say nothing else, I mean, utter no other words out of your mouth, the most important thing you should say, if you are truly a patriotic, bleeding American, is "God bless the United States of America." And if you notice, Barack Obama always makes a point to say that, you see. And I just find that that's troubling to me, you know, especially at that particular, you know, magnitude of speech. But if you are not really a Constitution-supporting, upholding candidate for the United States of America, for this great nation, then of course you can, you know, you can go out like that. All right. So do that for yourself. Look at, it says he protects Constitution Article 12. Look at the Constitution, folks. There's not even a number 12 in the whole Constitution. There is subpart 10, you know, it goes up to a subpart 10 article, such and such, and subpart 10. But there's not a 12 in the whole Constitution. That means you never read it. Point blank. So I rest my case on any argument for this guy, you know, and becoming the president of this great nation, and I'm a part of the American people. No, not even, there's no case for it. Also, we have this issue, and I'm just going to jump tracks right quick because I want to get this in today, showing this young man shot and killed in Chicago. He has stole a Jaguar. And the police, you know, when he came and wrecked through the police cars and stuff like that. Now, they certainly could say that, you know, he was using his car. His car can be considered a weapon, you know, at that particular point in time. But the reckless way in which the police, you know, started firing at this guy, I mean, they're shooting at each, you know, crossfiring of each other, you know, first of all, which is very dangerous. I mean, a bullet could have ricocheted off that vehicle and hit his officer colleague, you know, right across the street, you know, just matter of feet away. They're both cross-firing, and that's, you know, just totally wrong procedure. But the point I want to get to, folks, is after this guy wrecks his car, the suspect wrecks his car, and he flees, he cleared a fence, and the police officers chased him over to this wooden fence, and they cleared the fence. Now, folks, in the first one or two, and I'm going to see if I can go back and find this video footage, because it's key and critical for the argument of the suspect or the one that's fleeing, and actually would be the victim in this particular case. There were actually two shots fired after that last officer had cleared the fence. It may have been after he cleared it. I don't know if it might have been before he cleared the fence. But anyhow, when we couldn't see what was going on. There was no cameras at that particular point in time. And ironically, the officer that shot this gentleman and killed him didn't have his body camera, you know, recording at that particular time. Those were the two fatal shots that we don't see this off camera, that the news media is not running, you know, and they cut the film, they cut the video prior to those last two shots, you know, and the two shots took place in the backyard of where they, you know, where they killed this suspect. Now, he did not have a weapon. He was shot in the back, so I bet you he had his back turned and hands up to surrender, and they fired two fatal shots that killed this gentleman in that backyard. And if you get the footage, or you've heard of the earlier footage, which they have edited it and they stopped it, you know, here, you know, so you can't hear it, but there were two shots that was after they came to that fence, to the privacy fence there. There was two shots, pop, pop. That's what killed this gentleman, and ironically, the officer's body cam was not running when those two fatal shots were fired. That's damning evidence, folks. That right there puts the law enforcement, and you got to understand, I am a supporter of law enforcement. I was raised that way, and I am still that way today, when they're right, when they are protecting and serving us as their creed demands that they do, then that's a great and honored thing. But when you have these rogue and runaway overzealous, you know, officers, you know, that do these heinous actions and create these crimes, you know, they have to pay. Just like anybody else, they have to pay. These officers must be arrested. You see, the key and clear evidence of that was the two fatal shots that we don't see. If we were able to hear those two shots, maybe not see them, but just hear those two shots, that's it's a closed case. It's a done deal. And I picked up on that. And the first time they aired it, they let it run full, and they heard the two shots. Then they went back there and seen this gentleman dead. Then since that time, it's been edited to not have that be a part of their footage. Okay, so we need to get to that. We need to go there. If we're going to support this Constitution, you know, for liberty, and all the wonderful things that, you know, to protect and to, you know, uphold and to the common welfare, you know, of this great nation, then, you know, we have to do that. But it's certainly not being done in this particular case. So anyhow, let me move on. We got Mr. Trump's phony endorsements of Paul Ryan, John McCain. Folks, this was so phony. I mean, good gosh, who couldn't see this? I mean, no pun intended, but Ray Charles could have seen this. You know, he had to read a script out loud. He couldn't even come from the heart, you know, on these endorsements. And you can just tell that they're phony. And folks, if you can't, I mean, that's an amazing thing to me, that most people, I guess, in this country and in this world can't, you know, don't have a spirit of discernment, which I know is a blessing, you know, but, you know, if you can't tell when somebody is, you know, bull jiving you and just saying anything for their own, you know, self benefit, I mean, come on. I tell for you, I got 90 seconds. So love one another, take care of one another, right there. Because God is love. I want to keep talking. But if you can't tell that, I mean, like I always tell folks jokingly, I got some oceanfront property in Oklahoma, and I'd love to sell you dirt cheap. You know, that's just that. But anyhow, those endorsements are phony as $3 bills. You can see it. He is not a supporter of Paul Ryan. He's got a personal edge or personal thing going on, because Paul Ryan said first that I'm not quite there yet with Trump. He's never let that go. He's a child, you know, in a man's body, and he won't let that go. Even though he's, you know, been scripted to do that. John McCain, he said what he said about John McCain. He's not retracting that. He's not a man of retraction, folks. So how in the world, you know, is he going to be, retracting in this particular case? He never said he, you know, apologies or anything for anything that he's ever done, you know, in the public eye. If a man can't do that, at least Hillary Clinton did say that, you know, she apologized. Well, and she short-circuited. That's a very, very poor choice of words from Mrs. Clinton. I do know what she meant by short-circuited, and said some things, you know, she misspoke and said some things, you know, and that, but anyhow, you know, that's that. She really needs to just bury this issue of what she said, and, you know, Comey did not, you know, indict her, did not, you know, bring her to, you know, set her for court or anything like that. He pretty much considered it a done deal. There wasn't enough there, enough evidence to indict her. That's what's important, you know, here at this juncture in time. We have to and need to move forward on that. Hope and pray that she puts this to rest. We got to have somebody there in the presidency of these United States, folks. Not unless, you know, every both of them default and revise, you know, some conspiracy theorists that President Obama will remain president, will move forward as a president of this United States. And, I mean, if you don't have, you know, a candidate from either the Republican or the Democratic side, then he might just get it by default. They might have something there. Because these are extreme right-wing conspiracy theorists that have said this to me, you know, have told this to me directly. And I kind of thought it was far-fetched when they told me that. But if you kind of look at the whole scenario of things, the whole scope of things, then what they're saying is possible. I wouldn't say probable, but very possible. Okay, and so that's that. So like I said, Ms. Trump, you know, go back and, you know, clarify the word short circuit, what you actually meant by that, and put it to bed to rest once and for all for with the American people. They talk about Mr. Obama and his, you know, effectiveness. Even though he's standing at a 54% approval rating, he's created under his administration 15 million new jobs. The economy is setting, you know, the markets are strong, over 18,000 points. Job growth, I think it was 255,000 last month, is in place. Folks, if he were able to get to that infrastructure bank and infrastructure operative there, folks, that is huge. That's jobs out the wazoo. He may not be able to get to present that or roll that out because of Congress, but I do believe that Mrs. Clinton will. Even when Donald Trump says that there's going to be, you know, all these jobs created, you know, if he becomes president, folks, he's still talking about the infrastructure bank. He's talking about all the stuff that, you know, takes place in the infrastructure upgrades, you know, in this United States. We strongly and greatly need them. And that's jobs, good paying jobs. You see what I'm saying? State, federal, city, you know, solid, you know, long-term job. There's 50 years, you know, of job activity there. You know, we put that in place. Let's see here. So like I said, you know, Americans enjoy the benefits under Obama, but they don't want to give him the credit, you know, generally speaking. There's a base for Mrs. Clinton and a base for Mr. Obama that will not be shaken, cannot be changed, cannot be convinced otherwise. And God bless them. God bless us for that, because on the other side is it walking like into the abyss, you know, the total unknown. Let's see here. Oh, and they're talking about the $420 million that was already, you know, and like I said, you can go back and read about that for yourself instead of just listening to what I have to say. Let's see here. Where is that at? I thought I had it. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Five things you need to know about the $400 million sent to Iran. You can read that. It's a Fortune.com article in Fortune magazine or Fortune.com. There's several. Read that for yourself, folks, and they tell you exactly where that money come from, when it originated, how it came by, how it ended up with, you know, they were supposed to be buying some military equipment, and because of the sanctions being in place, it did not get the equipment, nor did they get their money. They got screwed out of the deal, you know. So this is the payback and the interest on the money owed. It's Iran's money. It's not like, you know, a ransom is money that belongs to you, that you pay someone or something or some country for the results, favorable results in return, such as release of hostages. Now, had that been American money beginning, and they paid it, you know, and these people were released, these four hostages folks were released, then that's pay for ransom. But that's not how it all laid out. The Republicans and the right, this is what makes me so aggravated, you know, against them and to side against them, because of this kind of nonsense and buffoonery, you know, that they would, you know, always trying to misconstrue things and, you know, slant things in a way, you know, that is damaging and damning to the opposing party, and that's just wrong. You don't see that on the other side. Look at that activity. You just don't see that from the Democratic side. usually the Democrats are just really talking about facts. You know, he did this, he said that, you know, the results were this, blah, blah, blah. That's just it. You know, and like I said, you go and read that for yourself, and it will explain exactly what that's all about. Let's see. Now, you're talking about this particular Hasi swap deal, you know, alleged Hasi. What about Iran-Contra, Ronald Reagan? Folks, look that up for yourself. That's simply done, let's see. Just Google Reagan and the Iran-Contra. Just Google that for yourself, Reagan and the Iran-Contra. Folks, look at the video of Ronald Reagan. He actually apologizes, you know, for this for hostage swap that they got caught on. You see, they're trying to do this covertly, you know, and do this, you know, secretly, and they got caught on it. So, you know, what makes him a great, you know, leader, great president, if he's, you know, doing something like swapping, you know, weapons for hostages? This is what Ollie North and all that was all about. They tried to create another fall guy, but President Reagan knew about this. He authorized you ain't going to have any type of movement activity of this magnitude without the president being being a part of it or being notified or being made abreast, and they just got caught. Hands down, that's just it. And Ronald Reagan was. Now, I do admire his character for, you know, for standing up and taking the blame and apologizing to the American people. That shows character, and it truly does. But the ultimate fact is, they got caught, and this was truly a swap for hostages. And this is something that this great nation just does not do, nor does it support. As a matter of fact, I think that there's probably some legal things that probably could have taken place at that particular time, but it did not. But that's all water under the bridge at this day and time and juncture in our American history. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for the afternoon. Facts are the facts, folks. That's what you get here. Nothing but the facts. So help me God. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Love one another. Come on and see us. Come on and listen to me. You know, bring people. Let's increase the numbers. They're going good. Let's make more. Let's get this word out there. Ears of influence. Pay attention. We can help. This broadcast will help you solve issues, you know, in the great nation and in this world, because it's common sense. But anyhow, that's our broadcast for today. Take care. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Until our next broadcast, which probably will be tomorrow morning. Take care for now, and so long.